Hello and croeso to episode 86 of Alternative Wales, the podcast. I'm Ryan, and of course, I'm joined, as always, by the one and only Tommy Caws. Tommy, how are you? Have you been eating much this week?
I always eat a lot.
Yeah. You needed to live.
And I am well. And I am well, yeah, thank you. Does that cover everything?
I think so, yeah, for now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've been as you can imagine, my diet has been disgraceful as ever, but yeah, I'm living my best life, right?
Hey, and that's all we can ask for. And off the subs bench, because Rodri is at the coalface on a night shift, it's Lewis Sharp. Lewis, it's been a while. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, right? Not too bad.
Good stuff. Glad to have you back. Right. I think tonight we're going to have a good old chat about the state of play in the domestic game. Before that, Caws, we will have a quick mention of Wrexham, seeing as you're on your top of the league. Just another stressful afternoon following Wrexham AFC.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. I wasn't at the game. I didn't go down to Kent, but yeah, just should have been a lot more comfortable. Had plenty of chances to put it to bed. Could quite conceivably been 5-0 up, but yeah, left it late as ever to get the winner. But yeah, the winner came. In all fairness, usually Wrexham would train on a 3G pitch in the week leading up to the game, but because of the horrendous weather, they weren't able to train. Obviously, Maidstone play on a 3G, They went into the game without having had that preparation. But even so, it wasn't a bad performance. Just didn't. You know, they had plenty of chances, but they just allowed them. They had Maidstone had a good 5 to 10 minute period and got back in the game. But No, it's another 3 points, and you know, thankfully now the away form has really picked up. And you know, on top of our home form, winning every single game at home, it's going to be interesting on Sunday when Sheffield United come to town.
God, it's this Sunday, isn't it? Yeah, bloody hell.
Yeah.
That's come around quickly already. Exciting. So, yeah, we'll have a chat about that in a bit more depth next week. So, on to the Cymru Leagues then. We'll start on the pitch and then we'll do some off-the-pitch stuff a bit later on. Obviously, this weekend, the fixtures were ravaged by postponements thanks to the weather. But we do know how the second half of the Cymru Premier season will look. At the top, we have TNS, Connors Quay, Bala, Penabont, Cardiff Met, and Newtown, and at the bottom we have Carnarvon, Haverford West, Aberystwyth, Flint, Airbus and Ponty. Let's start at the top half. TNS have run away with it already. They're scoring for fun. I think their goal difference is like plus 81 or something ridiculous like that. I should have done my research, but it is in
that's
the high
72.
I think they've scored 81 goals in total.
That's something like that.
And plus 72. Lewis, it's not new for TNS to be doing something like this, but they do seem to be on a slightly bigger level this year. Do you think that's down to Craig Harrison, or what do you think it is down to?
I guess with them, you probably don't even have to be that good a manager to get that team playing well. So I did find it a bit odd that they sacked Limbrick over the summer, but for TNS, the challenge isn't winning the league, to be honest. Obviously, it's going further into Europe as far as they can. Just looking now, obviously, they haven't even lost a game all season.
I think they've only drawn twice, is it?
Three times. that's off research. I've just got like the table left now. But it's just quite annoying because it's just, obviously, we don't even have to go into the reasons why it's annoying. It's just boring. It's the same team winning every week. But they're just so good and nobody can compete because nobody else is, well, I don't think at least anybody else is full-time. I think Connors Quay might have a few players who are training full-time and a few players part-time. But when they're better than you on the ball, they're physically better than you, they're fitter than you because they're training every week, their bodies are conditioned better than everybody else in the league, they should walk the league every season.
Yeah, it's interesting, like you said, that sort of, you feel like any manager could get a tune out of them with the resources at their disposal. Caws, do you think that, and obviously Limbrick did well, you know, but not as well as Craig Harrison's doing. Craig Harrison, you know, I think he had 6 seasons he won the league in a row with them, and he had that ridiculous, I think it broke a Guinness World Record, didn't it, for a long, the longest like winning run. You know, how much do you think has Craig Harrison given them Or is it just a case of, you know, the professionalism of the club is just taking them to that level?
Yeah, I just sort of agree with what Lewis said there, really. I do think you have to give Craig Harrison credit. I don't think it is a case of anyone can sort of manage him. I think it's interesting, is that I think Limbrick's league record was unreal, but I suspect TNS now, they're at the stage where it's European performances that they're going to be judged on as managers there now. And Craig Harrison, really, he's going to be judged on the games in July. Another thing, I think we both said it right when Gibbo went to Nomads, Neil Gibson went to Nomads and Craig Harrison went to TNS. We sort of said, I think it's a good move for both clubs. And it's pretty much turned out that way as well, hasn't it? Because Craig Harrison did an okay job. He won the League Cup at Nomads, but he didn't really pull up any trees. It was nothing fantastically impressive there. But obviously, gone back to TNS, I think his first game was a League Cup game against Nomads. He lost that one on penalties, and since then, he hasn't really lost another game. So, it's pretty much... It's frustrating as neutrals, as the three of us are,
yeah,
in terms of top flight, or certainly, you know, in terms of... TNS and Nomads and stuff like that. It is frustrating to see them just running away with it. Like you say, 80 goals for, 8 goals against in 21 games. It's just so dominant, it's almost embarrassing. But
yeah,
I think Gibson's made great progress with Nomads. I think I can see them challenging next year. I think Penabont, I don't know what you think, Ryan. I'd probably say Penabont have had a slightly below par season to what they expected. Not massively so, but I think maybe they'd have expected to have a few more points on the board. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's been a weird season for Penabont, because I think in patches they've been superb. And against the big sides, they've been pretty good. I mean, they've against TNS, I think they took a point off TNS at home. Hmm. I already can't remember the away game now earlier in the season, but I think it's always been, they're always tight games between Penabont and TNS. I feel like Penabont are close to beating them. But then, you know, and they've taken 4 points off Bala, so it's been going good, but then they've dropped points over Christmas to Cardiff Met, in the doubleheader. They only took 1 point off them, which I think they need to be beating those sides to be challenging for Europe. And they lost to Haverford West, which I think, you know, you take those results out of the picture, and they drew to Ponty at home. So there's sort of 4 results there, which I think would have made all the difference that they shouldn't have got.
I think Penabont, yeah, completely agree. I think Penabont, Bala and Newtown, you pretty much look at them the same way.
They've all
dropped silly points. I mean, Newtown had a horrific start. They're in decent form now. They were never going to be down the bottom. We knew that. But, I don't know what you think, Lewis. I think those three teams, those were the three, along with Nomads, you're looking at if you want to challenge TNS. But, you know, this season they've just been a bit off, haven't they?
I've been surprised with Cardiff Met this season, really. Looking at their team before the start of the season, I wouldn't have said that they'd be third going into the second phase. And, you know, they're the closest to Connors Key and TNS. And, like, I've not been that impressed when I've seen them this season. But if they keep grinding out results like they do, then they could be getting European football again like they did a few years ago.
Lewis, obviously, I think third place will probably go to... go to the league as a European spot, because I assume, you know, probably TNS or Connors Key or maybe Bala or Penabont will win the Welsh Cup, which may not happen, but I think it's safe to assume that one of them will. That means likely that third place will go to the league. It's probably a shootout between Bala, Penabont and Cardiff Met now, because I think Connors Key will probably pull away. And you can't rule out Newtown either. I think they've played themselves back into the hunt. And obviously with 2 games against every team left, you know, they're well in it. Lewis, how do you see that race for third going? Is it going to be Bala's again?
Yeah, I think Bala will pull away again. They're just simply based on the talent that they've got in their team compared to the other two. And not only talent in the starting 11, but sometimes when I go and watch Penabont, for instance, they start a game really well, but as the game's you know, coming to an end, 60, 70 minutes, you look at the bench and it's, there's not many experienced players who can come on, especially if they've got a few injuries, whereas Balak and field two really, really strong teams that would compete in the league. So I feel like based purely off their strength in depth and the talent that they've got, I feel like they'll probably overtake Cardiff Met, I think, and get third.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But yeah, it'll be interesting because this is the thing with the split, is anything can happen in that second half of the, you know, all it takes is a couple of wins and you're moving up the table. You know, onto the bottom half then, where I'm sure the real drama is going to be. Last week on the pod, I said I'd expect the ABBA go down, and of course they went on and beat Carnarvon on Saturday. That's just how it works. Because I saw a Coffee fan chatting with you on Twitter the other day, and they're not happy with the situation at the moment. They're on a terrible run. They've lost Fidel O'Rourke, who scored a lot of goals for them in the first half of the season. Are they in trouble of going down?
Yeah, they are, 100%. Yeah, I don't think they will go down, personally. That's just my prediction. But they're definitely in trouble. Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone in that bottom half's in trouble. You know, equally, I think everyone, apart from Airbus, is capable of getting that seventh place. So it's you're right in saying, I think that's where the real interest lies in many ways, you know, in the second half of the season. Saw the highlights of Flint, their new signing. He looks the business.
Is he from Chester?
He's joined from a little club just down the road from Flint. Yeah. So he's joined on loan. First game hat trick. So he looks a good player. I think Akpro as well up front has been a good player this season for him. So I've said it all along. I think Flint are going to be fine. You know, Haverford West. I picked him before the season to go down. I don't think they will go down. I think the Covies will pick up a few results. I think the crowds they get at home, if they're in any danger with a few games to go, they'll be getting huge crowds, and I think the crowds will see them through.
Yeah.
So for me, I think it's going to be Ponty who are going to join Airbus. I've got to feel sorry for Airbus, by the way, as well. They're looking for that first win.
Oh,
I watched their highlights against Cardiff Met, and you know, he's trying absolutely everything. They're trying everything to sort of get the, you know, get that first win. And they've brought this Brad Kelly in on loan, and bless him, the poor lad's had an absolute shocker against Met. You know, he's let pretty much every shot go in, unfortunately. but yeah, I mean, you know, Airbus have been gone for months now, yeah. And they, unfortunately for them. So that one place, I think if gun to the head, I'm probably going to say Pontypridd. But like you say, Ryan, it's going to be really, really tight. And I'm actually really looking forward to seeing that battle down there. You know, I mean, especially, I think your likes of Aberystwyth and the Coffees as well, if they're in danger with a few games to go, you'll see some big crowds there to support them both, I'm sure.
Quickly on Carnarvon before we move on slightly. Do you think Hugh Griffiths will last the season? Do you think they'll stick with him? Because I know the fans have turned or are starting to turn. But do you think that they'll stick with him?
Some fans have turned, haven't they? I think my perception is, and this is just, you know, sort of the whispers you had. I think Paul, the chairman, is still behind him. I think he's still got the support of the chairman. And you know, like we've seen so many times, these things can turn around very, very quickly. I think he'd be there at the end of the season. I do. Perhaps, and this is no disrespect for Hugh, but perhaps for no other reason than I don't know the terms of his contract. I don't know whether they'd have to give him a few quid to leave early. I'm not sure how it would work, but I just think they'll keep him till the end of the campaign. I think he's an experienced manager. That counts so much, doesn't it? It's not like he's a young lad who they've took a risk on. Hugh's a safe pair of hands. He's proven in the Welsh Prem, you know. And the other thing is, Carnarvon, you know, they're not a club with a great deal of money. So if they get rid of him, who do they bring in? They can't break the bank to bring anyone in as a gaffer. So, I'm pretty sure that they'll stick with him. And you know, he's done a reasonable job there over the years. I think that's got to count.
Last season was a big success. You know, they won the playoffs and, you know, they were top six again the season before that. So it's been a bit of a blip of a season. But yeah, I think it might be too risky to sack him at this point. We had a question from the Abasol crew asking if this season has started too late. But I guess with two games against the teams around them, if they can keep getting results like they did on Saturday, they've got every chance of staying up. And you never know. They may end up in the playoffs. Obviously, Flint, Ponty and Haverford West are also down the bottom then. Lewis, who can you see going down with Airbus? And who do you think the fourth team will be in the playoffs? Who will win the bottom half?
I think Ponty will go down. And I think ABBA will pick up results like what you just said then and get into the playoffs in the seventh spot.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
We're nice to have some ABBA positivity, I'm sure, the Abasol crew.
I've said that purely because I don't want them on my back. It's not what I believe at all. But
Yeah, I guess.
Do you know what? Fear of the Soul Crew plays a massive part in my predictions as well.
Yeah, I've learned the hard way from that, so I've just got to double down on it now. But it is interesting that I think when you talk about the bottom half of the league, it's sort of discussed as relegation. But that seventh spot is massive. I think Newtown proved that two seasons ago, the last time the playoffs happened. They won the bottom half and ended up qualifying for Europe. So I guess, you know, you can't discount that as a target. It's not just staying up, it's going for seventh. And I think you're right, Lewis. I think Ponty are the team that probably will struggle. I think they just lack quality, although they have got quite a lot of cash. And I guess if they want to flex that muscle and bring in some players, I guess they could, but I don't know if they'll be good enough. Haverford West should be fine in terms of relegation, and I think they'll be thereabouts in seventh. But yeah, I think any of those teams, you know, you go on a run, and all of a sudden you're the form team going into the playoffs, and you
especially
never know what out.
I think I remember that Newtown season. I think of the 10 games, but no, is it 10 games? 10 games of their 10 games, I think they won 9 and drew 1 or something like ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
And if you get that form going into the games, obviously you're the informed team, and they proved that season that they were really difficult. Because I remember, I think me and you were at that Bonts Newtown game, weren't we, right?
Yeah.
And like, they just seemed so much more up for it, and all the second balls were bouncing to them and stuff. And that's based purely off probably confidence and form going into the tie.
Yeah, because I remember towards the end of the season saying that Pennebon obviously were fourth, saying that I'd almost rather finish fifth at this point because you didn't want to face face Newtown. You'd rather face the sixth team, you know, in the top half, who've been on a bad run and had bad results. So it's a strange how that works, but it'll be interesting to see.
I was just going to say before we move on, talking about how strange it works sometimes. I mean, in theory, especially this season with how tight it is, you could just avoid relegation by a point and end up qualifying for Europe.
Yeah, that is pretty mad, actually. Yeah, very good point. Colwyn Bay in the north, Cymru North, continued their rampage en route to the top flight, but Holywell can't stop winning either. I think it's probably too late for Holywell now, Cows, but I guess they've got that interesting tie in the Welsh Cup away at Pennebont. Turf Creative has asked who'll win, and you've sort of picked that game out as one to watch, and you think Holywell could do a bit of a job there.
They're a really good side, right? Really, really good side. And Johnny Hasseldin's a fantastic manager. He's been there a long time. Holywell lad, well, adopted Holywell lad anyway. I think they've got a really, really good chance. Obviously, Pennebont should win. By the way, as well, I'm not going to write them off for the league. Colwyn Bay should win the league, of course. You know, they'll be massive favourites. But, you know, if Holywell win their two games in hand, they're 6 points behind. So it's perhaps not all over. But I think it would take Holywell going to Colwyn Bay and winning at the Bay, I think, which, you know, that's going to be a tough ask. But, I think that I really do think it's a potential upset for Pennebont, that one. And as I say, I think Holywell will take a good following down there as well. So, it's a potential upset. But as I say, if Pennebont are professional, they should sneak a victory, really.
Kaus, I know you don't really keep up with the South as much as you do the North, but Barry should have enough, and they haven't suffered at all with the loss of Gavin Chesterfield. And nomadic goalkeeper Lee Kendall seems to be leading them back to the Cymru Premier.
Yeah, good old Lee Kendall. Yeah, I've seen him play plenty of times. Excellent keeper. I mean, he's got to be about 40 now, hasn't he?
42.
42, there you go. Yeah, well, yeah, fair play. Still a spring chicken, plenty of time for him. But yeah, no, but I think Barry, hopefully, I say hopefully, I mean, you know, I don't mean that disrespectfully to any other clubs, but I'm sure neutrals will understand what I mean. Barry are a team that they have to be in the Cymru Prem.
Yeah.
You know, they're a massive, massive club. And you know, the same with the Bay, very different situation to the Bay. Obviously, Bay have come back into the Welsh system after years in England, but yeah, no, I'd love to see Barry back up. And all of a sudden, you talk teams like that in the top flight, and it all of a sudden looks like a far more attractive prospect, doesn't it? I am looking forward to the return of Barry, and got a lot of time for their fans. Funnily enough, I was watching recently, I was watching their game against Aberdeen.
Okay.
I think it was the UEFA Cup at the time, wasn't it? In the 90s. Or it might have been the Cup Winners' Cup, I'm not sure. But Aberdeen had Dean Windass up front and Billy Dodds, I think, as well. But they gave him a really good game. You know, Barry are just a team with great history. And we need them in the top flight in Welsh football.
Yeah. No, I think they're a Premier side, although I do hate Jenner Park. I just don't like it as a football ground, even though, you know, it's hosted many a famous night. Right, off the pitch then, the debate rages on. And I do know in the background there are talks of restructuring the Cymru Premier. Gwyn Derfel, who's the general manager of the league, has walked away this month. So we'll see a new person taking the league forward at some point. Kaus, I know your feelings on what you want from the league. And that is more teams, isn't it?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I'd like to see a 16-team league. You know, there's a lot of debate over it. I think that seems to be the general consensus from match-going fans now. Especially, you know, I think teams have been there a while. I think, I think for the next couple of years, you might have teams like. So, you know, as I say, mentioned Colwyn Bay again, you know, they'll have, like Caernarfon did, they had 2 or 3 years of bit of a novelty playing in the top flight. And now as their gates have shown, it's the novelty's worn off and there's just not that enjoyment playing the same team 4 times, sometimes even 6 times a season. So, yeah, I'd love to see a 16-team league. You know, I'm not sure what they're going to do with it. But, yeah, I think that would be fantastic. I just think... I don't know how it's going to work. I know we've seen Llantwit Major and people like that not being able to get promotion because of the criteria. Maybe there'd have to be a slight relaxing of criteria. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that'd be maybe a sticking point. But certainly if they came out with a roadmap towards a 16-team league, i.e., you know, maybe a three years to get to that level, then I think fans would probably be, and I'm talking about match day fans. I know there's some fans who think different options are on the table. Summer football's another one that creeps up a lot, but I feel like because we've gone too far down the road of 3G pitches now, I don't see them deciding to go with summer football. I think it's going to be a reshuffle in terms of numbers rather than that. So yeah, we'll see what comes, but yeah, that's certainly what I'd like to see, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so I was a bit of an advocate for the extension of the league, you know, more teams, only 2 games against each side, and, you know, a bit of variety. And it would probably allow you to do either 2 up and 2 down from the north and south, or even 3 down and a playoff between like the runners up and the north and south, which would be really fun. But after speaking to Chris Hughes earlier in the season, obviously he did a lot of research into, I think, for his one of his coaching badges, or he's got like a master's in coaching or something along them lines. You know, he made the point that the countries of a similar size to Wales have smaller leagues. Look at Scotland, for example. Yeah. They have a 12-team league. I think Estonia have a 10-team league. Moldova have a 10 or 12-team league. That won me over a bit. But Lewis, do you think the league would benefit from less teams? And sort of concentrate the resources amongst those teams and hopefully drive up the standard to make it more competitive so we don't just have TNS just battering an extra 4 teams every season?
I'll be honest, I think more teams coming in, like what you mentioned, two or four or three or whatever teams coming up from the Cymru North and South every season. To be honest, I think it actually decreases the standard, and it'd probably be a bigger gap between the bottom of the table and the top of the table. Because if there's three teams coming up from the second tier, although I'd probably, from a neutral point of view, I would prefer it, because you get to see teams playing against different teams rather than playing the same team four times a season in the league, maybe once or twice in cups as well. I feel like, based purely off of the standard, obviously there's an argument for both ways, but I would predict that it would go the other way, in my opinion. But obviously we're not going to know until it happens. But I feel like it's just, there's just going to be a bigger gulf in class from TNS are just going to batter the teams at the bottom of the table who are coming up every season. It was probably going to be similar to what it is now, to be fair, but teams going up and going straight back down, and just that sort of conveyor belt of clubs that come up, can't compete, go back down.
Yeah, and my worry is, if you go to 16, and like you said, Kaus, earlier about, obviously, like, Carnarvon, when they came up, it was a novelty that they had a load of new teams to play. I think that for a couple of seasons, it will be a novelty, because you'll have a bunch of new teams in the league. But I think eventually, it'll sort of come to what we have now in, like, the English Premier League, where sort of the same four or five teams that have the facilities to go up or go down. And, you know, it's like, you know, Norwich are up and down every season, or Burnley are going to go straight back up now, and, you know, Bournemouth have done it. And I think that's what we'll end up seeing, is a divide between the top, right at the top end of the North and South, and maybe it'll dilute that then going down. So I don't know. I think there's a lot to consider across the board. But I guess the decision comes down to what we want, you know, what do we want the league to be? And I think from a fan perspective, as much as I'd like to see the standard of the football improve, you know, from the fan experience side of things, it would benefit from bigger crowds. And, the you know, is extending the league the best way to do that? I'm not 100% sold. I think for a while it would be. But I think, you know, Friday nights, more Friday nights, you know, maybe start the season earlier and finish it slightly. You could have a winter break, because no one's playing in January anyway. We've seen it over the last 2 weeks, the amount of games that are called off. Bin off January, have a break. You know, or even incorporate, you know, have a mini tournament between us, some Northern Irish sides, some Republic sides, and some sort of lower down Scottish sides, almost like the Scottish Challenge Cup, but with more sides involved. So then that can make things interesting. I don't know. I think there's other ways to look into trying to improve crowds, which essentially is what we want.
I think that's the important point, Brian. I think, you know, while you're sort of, you've sort of made sort of different points to me, and you've come at it from a different angle, I agree with everything you've both said. When I'm talking about 16 team league, I'm barely considering the standard aspect. I want to see bigger crowds in our top league. I actually think the standard is pretty reasonable when you consider that our best clubs don't play in our league.
Yeah,
I think the standard is reasonable enough for a nation of 3 million people. I the thing that worries me is the crowds, and, you know, again on the weekend you're looking at crowds of less than 200. That's not good enough. It's not good enough for our top league. Do you know what? And it's, you know, I'd like to see us improve in every aspect. But if you're asking me the most important thing, I would accept not making progress in Europe just to have a better product and get more people in the grounds. Because personally, I think if you get more people in the grounds, all of a sudden, after a few years, I think you'd find performances in Europe improving anyway, just as a byproduct of that.
Wouldn't you say that works the other way, though, Kaus? Wouldn't you say that if our teams did better in Europe, then that would attract more crowds as well?
It's a really fair point, mate. And this is why no one's got the answer, isn't it? Because we're trying to look at things from one perspective, and then it's almost working against someone who's looking at it from a different perspective. So it's such a tough one, and I don't envy them, because, to be honest with you, the decision makers, the powers that be, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't.
Yeah,
they're going to get slagged off no matter what. So I don't envy them for that. But the big thing for me, the big takeaway for me, I just want to see grounds full of people watching football matches in Wales. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, because like at the end of the day, you know, for me, I love football because of the culture. I mean, essentially, this is what why Alternative Wales start, and I don't think there's a good enough fan culture at most clubs in the Welsh system. You know, there is exceptions to that, but I think the fan experience isn't a good one, especially at the top. Like you said, a lot of games under 200, you know, going to Cardiff Met, you know, no disrespect to Cardiff Met, they're there on merit, they're a good footballing team, and they have been for a while, but there's no club culture, you know, there's no
148. And again, I'm not slagging them off, but everything you said spots on. They're a great footballing side. They're third in the league and they got 148 on Saturday,
you know, and that's in that they have the biggest population on their doorstep of anywhere in the league. Cardiff City played at 3 o'clock. Why aren't they marketing to Cardiff fans to say, why didn't you come up to King Coyd after that game? Because you could watch Cardiff and you could get the King Coyd. And I think that's the issue, is that I think the FAW need to do more in terms of marketing the game. I think they need to invest into the clubs. You know, so me and Lewis have both helped out doing the media at Pen-y-Bont, but there's only so much we can do on a volunteer basis. You know, there's only so many things you can do because we both have to work, or Lewis is at university, for example. You know, I can't be there every day of the week. You know, I can't get out to the local community and try and sell the club, because a lot of people may not know they have a Cymru Premier team on their doorstep. You know, think of, you know, how many people watch Man United or Liverpool on a Sunday. Why don't they go out and watch a local game on the Saturday? I think more needs to be done in that regard. And I think the easiest answer for most people at the moment is 16 teams. And I don't necessarily think that is the problem. And I think, you know, David Collis asked the question saying if we could see Bale ever investing in the Cymru Premier Club. And I'm sure, you know, Gareth, if you're listening, Pen-y-Bont wouldn't turn down a few million. But like, in all seriousness, that is probably what we need. It's investment into the not just the football infrastructure, but like the club infrastructure, you know, like the community around the club and the marketing of the club and the running of the club. That I think is the most important thing, and I think that's what we're lacking most at the moment. Because if it's a decision of paying someone I don't know, £1,500 a month to be, you know, in charge of marketing or communications at a club, or paying a striker who's going to score you 15 goals on the pitch £1,500 a month, all the clubs are going to go for the striker, aren't they?
So
it's such a, I think the FAW, that's where things need to change. And I don't know if raising the teams, I think 12 is probably enough. I don't know, maybe someone needs to be looked at into the split, whether that's the best way to do it, but I don't know. You know, there's plenty to ponder, and like, you know, more investment and outside investment comes with dangers, as you can see in the English system. So, yeah, I don't know. It's the question. It's the great unanswered question. And like you said, Kaus, I don't think there is one obvious way, and whichever way the FAW choose to go, it is going to upset people.
Yeah, 100%. This. You know, you are going to upset people no matter what. And, you know, this is what comes with, you know, making these decisions and being in that role. But I do agree, right? I think what you were saying before, I think, you know, just in terms of marketing the league and stuff like that, I just think there's so much more. Perhaps we can all do it, but it's, you know, it's not on us as supporters. That's not our job. We do it because we enjoy it. You know, it's perhaps time to have someone in a professional capacity who can really. And I know they've got people, you know, obviously you've got the Cymru Leagues people, and they do a great job.
But I think it should be more on the clubs rather than the FAW, because the FAW do what they do, and I think they do. I think it comes down.
But then the flip side, right? That the clubs have only got so much budget, haven't they?
Well, yeah, like I said, if it's the difference between paying someone to do your comms or paying someone to score goals. The clubs are going to go for goals, aren't they?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a really tough one. It is. And, you know, the thing is, the fact we're having this conversation, and to be honest, like, you know, when this goes out, it would be nice to hear as many opinions as possible, wouldn't it? You know, just how people feel about it, because, you know, just being out and about at Welsh football games and speak to people, probably you know, never a couple of days go by without having this discussion with someone.
Yeah.
It just feels like, especially up north here, you know, the general consensus is, you know, people would like an extended league, but also, you know, added in the factor that if you suddenly put a few of the bigger clubs back in there, it becomes an attractive proposition still with 12 teams. If you've got 12 well-supported clubs, the best-supported clubs, it's probably not a bad league, is it?
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, if you add in the likes of Rhyl and Bangor, Colwyn Bay, Barry, you know, even like a Llanelli or even Batalbot, but I know they slipped right down the leagues now and replaced some of the less supported clubs. I don't think it's a problem. Most clubs would have 300, 400, 500 every week. So plenty to ponder on the future of the game. And hopefully, regardless of what decisions are made, Welsh football will benefit from it. So speaking about the future of Welsh football, we'll speak to someone spearheading the revolution next. It's Adrian Fyfe. Adrian Phillips. Are you there?
I am indeed here, yes.
Good. Perky again. I like it. What's the vibe? What's the scene?
We won the league, didn't we?
Already? You did say, to be fair.
Yeah, I told you we'd win the league and we have. Well, thing is, though, we've won the league in a roundabout way.
Right, talk me through it.
We haven't got more points than anyone else, but the thing is, we beat Amlwch Athletic 6-0.
Right.
Glorious return for Alan Florida after his a tropical illness. He scored 4 goals. But we walked it, basically. But the thing is, we're trying to apply to join the Arundel League and probably the South. I don't really understand any of these. I thought Arundel was district, but then they said that was the name of the league. so we're going to join a South Wales League. So basically, this Anglesey and District League... They just gave us the league title because we've caused them so much trouble. They just got rid of us.
So it was essentially a have the title and fuck off kind of job.
Exactly. Yeah, you've worded it very well there, Fred.
Yeah, succinctly.
Yeah, they did. But so we had a party on the after the game after we finally got back to the I can't call it the Lenin now for obvious reasons. So we've had to rename it.
What have you called it?
The Nobody Inn. But there was certainly plenty of people in that Saturday night. It was berserk. So but I can't really tell you what went on.
A messy one then.
Yeah, Alan Grundig, the two Alans, Red Alan and Alan Grundig, are still out somewhere.
What are we on now, day 3?
I don't know, mate. I can't remember what the game was like. So we won the league, but we don't know what league we're going to be playing in next year because apparently the... North Wales, whatever the district league we played in, they're not happy with us and they're going to drag us into the FAW.
Right. So, Will, is there a future for the club? Is the real question.
Well, in the medium to short term future, I've decided to take them on a, like, you know, remember when Santos used to go on them world tours?
Oh, yeah, with Pele.
Yeah, we're doing that with Alan Florida. So, we're going to try and fix up some friendlies in, like, New Caledonia and. Cardigan. maybe we'll go to Cardigan first and then see how much money we've got. So yeah, we've fucked the league off, basically.
Yeah, so you've won the league, you're not going to turn up to any more of the games then?
Yeah, and we threw the trophy in the river on the way back.
Which one?
We won the league trophy. Like.
No, which river, just out of interest?
I don't know, a wet one. I can't remember. Everyone was hammer drunk. Somewhere mid Wales.
Just wanted to test your knowledge of Welsh rivers there, but you failed.
The Dwyfor.
The Dwyfor. I don't know, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a river. Yeah, I can confirm that's a river. Yeah.
My North Wales river knowledge isn't great, to be fair, so I don't know what I was expecting.
I don't know where that is either. Can someone tell me?
It's I believe the mouth of the River Dwyfor is in Llanystumdwy.
Oh, well, have you Googled that then?
No, it's just a bit of local knowledge goes a long way. See, I do my preparation for the show.
a pretty underwhelming finish to the league. And I saw someone told me it's January.
That is correct, I can't disagree.
Okay, yeah, so it's quite early to finish the league season, apparently.
It is, you know. Yeah.
not having done this before, I don't really sure.
So, off on the world tour, where can we expect you to be next week?
Well, I told you just now, mate.
New Cardigan to start with. Cardigan. Yeah.
I don't think, yeah, well, you know, we'll go west to start with and then just keep going west like a pioneer in the old days.
The old Christopher Columbus tour.
Yeah, yeah, we could do, but we need to get a boat first. If we Google Stena Line first, we'll get to Ireland maybe.
Great, I can't wait to hear all about the adventures of Phillips.
Well, we need to keep the momentum up because we walked this league and everyone's just disgruntled now. We can't play home games. We haven't got a league to play in next year. It's just turned into a bit of a mess, really.
But at least you've got a bit of time now where you can sort of put your heads together with Red Allen and Tony or whoever's, you know, knocking round the club and put a plan in action for next season, where you're going to play, where your ground's going to be.
Maybe can you repeat that, please? So I can write it down.
Listen back to the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good idea if I had a phone that could listen to podcasts. Yeah, so yeah, a lot of preparation to do, looking to bring a director of football in from the continent.
Okay.
Not sure what continent, but, you know, a continent. We'll bring someone in from a continent.
Sorry, I misheard you then. I thought you were looking for a director of football who's incontinent.
It'd be better than, well, we didn't have one last year. It'd be better than the last manager we had, that Alan Wewer. It was a hell of a mess.
How is Wewer doing, out of interest?
I don't talk to him anymore, mate.
Sorry, what?
I don't talk to him anymore. It's in the hands of the solicitors.
Here we are, and I think that's a nice way to leave it then.
Yeah. Oh, all right, okay. Right, I'm going back to the drawing board.
Gouse, do the honours.
Off you go, Phillips.
Agent Phillips.
Let's get on with the second half of the show, and this is where we'll do Wrongen of the Week. It's back for 2023. I'm sorry that it placed any doubt in anyone's head that it would be going away. And maybe I am the wrong one for suggesting that, but it's back and it's here to stay. I'm going to kick things off with my nomination this week. I was going to go for Frank Lampard, but I'll save that for when he gets another good job, because he shouldn't be getting another good job. I just don't like the bloke. I think he's a shit football manager. I'm glad he's been sacked. And I just don't wish him well in his future working life. But instead, I'm going for Ross Kemp. I was watching a bit of TV this afternoon and Ross Kemp was on my TV and I thought, you know what? I don't really like him. And I thought, he's going to be my wrong end of the week because he's a bit weird. And nothing more than that. Just a strange bloke. And
that seems fair.
He's a bit, he unsettles me. So yeah, Ross Kemp.
Was he talking about super army soldiers?
No, he's hosted a quiz show. I only caught the end of it. I didn't quite to grasp the concept, but yeah, he's hosting some quiz show on BBC One now in the afternoons. Yeah, all the best, Ross. Hope you're well, but you do creep me out a little bit, so you're going in as my wrong of the week. Lewis, as our esteemed guest, you can go next.
I'm going to go, even though it's like sort of the rules of a pub, but I'm going to go for when you're playing, like the pub's dead quiet and you're playing pool with your mates and you're like a few games in, but you still want to play for longer. And someone comes, they don't ask, they just put a quid on the table.
Yeah.
Like, that really annoys. And then you can't do anything. Even if you wanted to play, like, two more games after, you can't play it because the other people have put, even though, like, they can do anything else in the pub, the dart board is free, they can do anything else in the pub, they've gone and put a quid on the table. And it's like, I'm not going to empty my whole wallet of every pound coin I've got to put 15 on the table just in case we want to play 15 games. It's like, obviously, if when I do, you go up and you say, oh, listen, like, how many games are you thinking of having left? Most of the time people say, oh, this is our last one, or we're going to have one or two more, but put your pound coin down so that you're next type of thing. Yeah. But then it just annoys me, the arrogant people coming up and just, I think it's going to be quite controversial on Twitter and in the polls, because I guess it is sort of the rules of a pub, really, but...
Yeah. I agree with you, mate, and I'm going to throw something else in there as well. I'm going to say, when they put the quid down and then look at you and go, winner stays on, lads.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, off. When you just want to be playing with your mates, you don't want to play with anybody else.
Just want a game
else.
With your mate, just want a game and a pint and a chat and, you know, have a laugh. And then some bloke who you don't know just walks up, wanders in. Winner stays on, lads. No, I don't fucking know you.
Nice. It's a good pick. Second pub etiquette pick from you, Lewis.
It says a lot about me, actually.
Yeah.
I just get annoyed in the pub. Well, it's because I'm in the pub all the time by the looks of things. I'm not actually in the pub that often.
Do you play two-shot carry?
Is that when... So if you've got two shots and you pot the first, you can... And then miss the second, you carry on for the third.
We
never used to, like, back home, but we do here in Cardiff. I don't know what it is.
That's always been the rule I've played.
Yeah. Up north, it's only Denby. I'm a Denby lad. It's only Denby that plays two-shot carry. Every other town in North Wales doesn't use that rule.
We don't play that in Bangor, but we do here.
Weird.
Yeah. It's so weird, though, how, like, pool rules change from town to town.
I was just going to say, you know, let us know your regional pool rules.
That's good. We can get a lot of mileage out of this. I reckon we'll have more replies on this than the 16-team coming friends. That's a good shout. That
it is a good pick. Kaus, what's your wrong of the week?
Ooh, fuck it up. But do you know what? I'm going to stay on the pool theme. pubs who haven't got chalk on their pool tables. It does my head in. I haven't really got anything right. Do you want to go next and I'll come back?
I've already been, you absolute belter. I nominated...
What did you say?
Ross Kemp.
I remember thinking that was a load of old nonsense. But yeah, no, fair play to you. all right, do you know what I'm going to go for? I'm going to go for flowers. They're just fucking shit, aren't they? Yeah. They're just... What purpose do they serve?
Yeah. Okay, there we are.
Just shit. Yeah. If you could have Ross Kemp annoys you, I'm having flowers, mate.
All right. There we are. There's your first nominations of the year. It's Ross Kemp. People who I don't even know how to word it, intrude on your pool odyssey in the pub. I don't know.
Yeah, without asking.
Without asking.
How many games you've got left. Yeah, that's important. Because if they do ask, and that's like a nice thing to do, and I'll let them.
I agree with you, though. I'm voting for yours, Lewis, to be fair, mate. That's a good one, that.
This actually might be my first ever win. And not because mine's good, it's just yours. awful.
Very, very poor competition this week.
Yeah.
Ross Kemp and flowers. So a poll will be up on Friday on Twitter, and you can decide there. Right, plenty of questions to get through. We'll start with Andrew Dowlins. If you had to have a sexy drag artist name, what would you call yourself, and what kind of act would you be? Kaus, if you were a drag artist, what would you be?
Fucking Dowlin's scraping the barrel now. Bloody hell. I don't know. Drag artist. What the hell would I?
So here's a bit of inspiration for you. I walked past the Golden Cross pub in Cardiff a while back now, which is a gay bar. You know, it's a very old one on the corner by the Marriott by John Lewis. And they had an advertising for like a festival they were having in the bar. It was summertime. And there was a load of drag artists on there. And two names that jumped out at me. One was the very niche, because only really if you live in and around Cardiff, you'd understand it, was Sophia Gardens, which made me laugh. And someone called them, Joanna Bummy. Which really Joanna Bummy really tickled me.
Imagine like you hadn't heard of that. I just came out with that. Yeah, I'd call myself that, Joanna Bummy.
So I'd probably just steal Joanna Bummy because I think it's too good a name not to use. Lewis, have you got any inspiration for a sexy drag artist name?
No, and I've never really been asked or even thought about that question in my life.
I've thought of something. If you want a bit more time, Lewis, I've
go
thought
for
of
it. Go for it.
Yeah, I'm going to be called Tammy Kaus, and I'm going to have, instead of like having like tits, I'm just going to have like pieces of cheese in a bra.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like just packed full of like brie or something, and that'll be my thing.
What's the soft spreading cheese? You can sort of spread that all over yourself as part of your act.
Calm down, right? Bloody hell, getting a bit horny there, are you?
Bit of wind in the sail now. So the second part was, what kind of act would you be, Lewis? If you were a drag artist, what kind of act would you be?
I'd just do something like you'd never expect, like keep your uppies or something.
Freestyler. I don't mind that. That's pretty good.
Now, to be honest, that would be a drag show. I'd pay anything to watch that.
Yeah.
60 quid.
I'm trying to think of a pun, like a female pun on like Ronaldinho, or something like that. That's probably a good. That's what your name could be, you know. Anyway, we could spend all day on that. Lady,
it could be like a Rimaldo or something like that. Put a sex term into a footballer's name and then
moving on. Lady Pixie has asked, who would you love to play for Cymru? They don't have to be a current squad member. My answer would be Tommy Cowes. I'd love to see Tommy Cowes in the Wales 11, walk out on the pitch, sing the anthem and just disgrace himself in front of 30,000 people at the Cardiff City Stadium.
As you've both seen, if I can do it with a massive hangover on Bellevue Park, then I'm pretty sure I could do it at the Cardiff City Stadium, lads. So yeah, challenge accepted. Let's get it sorted. Speak to Noel. Speak to Robert Page.
Get Cowes in the Wales squad. Lewis, who would you like to see play for Wales that maybe hasn't before? Or it could be anyone.
I don't think she's mentioned in the question if they actually have to be Welsh. So I'll just have like Mbappe or someone.
Okay, that makes sense. Haaland.
I'd go for Derek Brockway.
Yes. Yeah.
Derek Brockway. Get him in the first 11. 100%. Him and Steve Spears, the duo from heaven.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Perfect. Matthew Davis has asked, very timely, Lewis is back on ahead of his favourite sporting competition, the Six Nations. How much are you looking forward to a five week a year sports fans day trip into Caerdydd and queuing at your bars? Lewis, obviously you've upset Matthew in the past with your rugby related picks on Wrong End of the Week. Thankfully, I'm pretty much away most of February, so I'll miss a lot of the Six Nations, which is music to my ears. But Lewis, are you looking forward to it?
No comments. All I'm saying is I'm staying in Cates and Roath, and I will not be heading into town at any given moment, not even like on a Wednesday or anything.
Yeah.
Because
the whole 6 weeks or however long it lasts for.
I've spoke, you know, voiced my opinion before. I don't need to say it again.
Yeah, we know.
I'm not getting myself into trouble this time, but all I'm saying is it's best that they stay out of my way and that I stay out of theirs.
Sensible. Paul Burns has asked a complete nonsense question. Marmite, yes or no? Quickly, please, Cowes. Yes or no, Marmite?
I'm not gonna give you a quick answer. I'm actually in the middle. You know, like they say, you either love it or hate it. I think it's all right.
Okay. Right. Okay, that's fine. Maybe for you then. Lewis, Marmite, yes or no?
No.
I've never tried it, but I don't want to try it, so no. Right. BVB's asked a good question here. Which three clubs would you play for if you were a professional footballer? Each has to be in a different country. Lewis, we'll start with you. If you could pick a three-club career in different countries, what would you do?
I'd play for Wrexham.
Okay.
I'd play for Man United after playing for Wrexham.
Right, okay.
And then somehow they'd find that, like, my dad was from, like, the Basque region or something.
Nice.
And I get to play for, like, Bilbao. Are they Basque country?
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I'd
play for Bilbao, I think. That would be, like, wind down your career in the sun.
Yeah, that's good. Cowes, what about you?
I'd go for Wrexham, Celtic and Sampdoria, I think.
Nice. Very left-wing.
Nice picks, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very left-wing. For me, I would start as a young pup in the Cardiff Academy, do well, have a good few first team performances, play about 3 or 4 years there. And then because the club is run so badly, they'll decide to sell me despite fans' wishes. They'll cause a fan revolt, which I will lead against the club. As I move on to bigger and better things, unfortunately, in terms of football, I then go to play for Ajax. I think that would be a really good football team to play for. Have a glittering career at Ajax, maybe take them back to European glory, win a European Cup with them, and then wind down my career somewhere really rogue, you know, like when Jermaine Pennant went to like Bangladesh or something, you know, go and play in like the Cambodian Premier League for a couple of seasons, try and sort of raise the standard there. And then eventually inevitably come back as player manager for Pennebont and lead them to the Champions League.
It's been a quiet day for you in work today.
Yeah,
like, it's thought of that all the way.
Yeah, it's been since the question came in. It was I was daydreaming away. So yeah, just to recap: Cardiff City, Ajax, Cambodia Premier League.
Did you hear the arrogance of him then, Lewis?
Yeah.
As if Lyon's going to go and raise the standard in Cambodia.
I just won the Champions League with Ajax. Thank you very much.
What a disgrace of a man.
Jamie Evans has said, who is your least favourite player at your team? He'd drive Kyle Norton to the Severn Bridge and apply for an indefinite travel ban into Cymru. I'm assuming Jamie is a Swansea fan. Kaus, who is your least favourite player at Wrexham?
Just how the hell am I supposed to answer this question?
Yeah.
And then like, go and interview him next week. Oh, yeah, I heard what you said about you, you prick. I'm gonna have to leave that one there. I'm trying to think of a way I can answer it without offending anyone. I tell you what, I'm gonna answer them. Rhiannon Roberts for Wales. Because do you know what? She was my favourite Welsh player, and then she goes and bloody I go and find out she was born in Chester.
Yeah,
ruined everything for me. She's my favourite Welsh player, and then I find that out. So yeah, sorry, Rhiannon, if you're listening, yeah, you let me down there with your birthplace. I know it's probably you had limited control over where you were born, of course, but yeah, there you go.
Okay, Lewis, I don't know which way you want to approach this, whether it be Man United or Wales. But who is your least favourite player?
Can't think of one for either, really. I don't really have a least favourite player. Would it be based on performance on the pitch or what you think they're like?
Anything really, whether it you know, you think he's a dick or just a good player, or both.
I think I'm gonna go Dean Henderson. Obviously he's on loan at Forest, but like obviously he came out with that interview with TalkSport
a
few months after he left, and supposedly from what I've read, he was someone who was leaking a lot of information last year.
For me, it's easy. Shea Yeojo, I think he's absolutely rubbish. And again, similar to Kyle Norton, I would drive him over the Severn Bridge, and I just don't think he's good enough. I mean, I could go on. There's probably a few other players in the Cardiff squad that I could easily tell you, would happily tell them to fuck off. Wales is harder. I don't really dislike any of the Welsh team. I'd go for a legacy pick with David Cottrell. I think that's a safe bet. Didn't like him as a player. Don't like him now. I think that's fair to say. Right, Rodri isn't here, but he is here in spirit, and he has asked a question. What would you rather? For everything to smell of gas or burnt mackerel for the rest of your life? Saying nothing is not an option. So, Lewis, if everything smelled of gas or burnt mackerel, what would you go for?
I think gas, because like, even I can't really smell gas, I don't think. You know it's there, but it hasn't got like a distinct smell, I don't think.
Mm. See, my thinking with this is, gas is a better smell than burnt mackerel, but logistically, I think it's important to smell gas when you do smell gas. I'm taking this very seriously.
True, yeah.
If I smell gas all the time, I won't know if there's a gas leak somewhere and I could end up exploding in a house. Whereas if it's like I only smell burnt mackerel, then I just smell burnt mackerel and you'd get used to it. Kaus, what do you reckon?
Yeah. No, it's true. I got to say, Claude is obsessed with gas as well. Do you remember he was talking about like the silent killer and all that sort of stuff? Like, yeah. That's a really good point. You've done really well to think of all the different sort of angles on it. I suppose I'd probably go for mackerel as well. I don't mind the smell of gas, though. To be honest, it's not that bad.
Yeah, I just think logistically, if it always smells of gas, then you're going to get yourself in trouble at some point. So, that's what I'll go with. Right, Boosh, here he is. Clean shirt, new shoes, and I don't know where I'm going to. Silk suit, black tie. I don't need a reason why. Boogied ZZ top. He does say, "See what I did there, Lewis," but I have no idea what he's referencing.
I have no idea either.
No. So who do you think are the sharpest dressed team in Cymru? Oh, I guess sharpest, that's where he's
going. Okay.
I don't know why he said that before he said sharpest.
Yeah, well, that's a joke I've never heard in all my life. And, like, nobody's ever said that to me, so I think people should say it more often.
Yeah.
Sarcasm there, by the way, actually quite annoys me.
Quick late change. Boosh is now wrong of the week. Never Boosh. Yeah.
That was a Frank Lampard esque change of mood. Then
sorry Boosh. I didn't mean to. I apologise. Sorry.
Who do you think is the sharpest dressed team in Wales? I mean, footballers, I think, broadly have a bad set dress.
Yeah, sense. None of them.
Yeah.
I'm not picking one.
What are the gear? Yes. The gear of the
is he talking about kits? Is he talking about kits and stuff like that?
Well, I don't think so. No, I think if he says sharpest dressed, I think that's the way you dress, isn't it? And I think most footballers.
I don't know about Welsh football, but Dominic Calvert-Lewin's wearing some pretty special stuff, isn't he?
Yeah.
And what's his name as well? What's his name? Erling Haaland as well.
Yeah,
in GQ.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Too,
yeah, though. I don't know.
Don't mind that.
No, it's a bit different. Fair play to him if that's what they want to wear. Fair play to him. No,
Bellerin is.
Yeah, I'd like to see some Welsh footballers that maybe, maybe see Penryn Coch players in the front of GQ and stuff.
Yeah,
like that. That'd be quite good.
Yeah. Okay. Lewis, do you have any thoughts or feelings on sharpest dressed Welsh teams?
No answering.
Okay, there we are.
Boosh is pissed off. I'm joking. But no, none of them are well dressed, so I don't even have an answer.
Yeah, fair enough. If you do play for a team and you think you're well dressed, please let us know on Twitter. Anyway, Podfather Alan March, he's got a bit of a trivia question for us today. The Battle of Rorke's Drift in 1879 took place on this day, with 11 Victoria Crosses awarded. But how many of them were Welsh? P.S. They didn't actually sing Men of Harlech during the battle.
No, it's a bit of a myth that they were majority Welsh. I think. Does he mean how many of the Victoria Cross winners?
Yes.
Welsh? Is that what he's looking
at? Yeah, how many of the 11? Yeah. Lewis, do you have any idea what we're on about? Have you ever seen the film Zulu?
No.
Okay. It's a good film.
Yeah. Take a guess though. What? Out of 11 people?
Yeah. How many of them were Welsh?
If he's asked the question, it might be a myth.
Just to give you a bit of background. It's a bit of a myth that it was a Welsh regiment. It wasn't. I'm sure it was the Royal Worcestershire Regiment or something like that it was called. But basically, like the film Zulu, it's got like the British soldiers all singing Men of Harlech when the Zulu army are attacking. And obviously it's all done for Hollywood effect. I don't know. I'm going to say I'd probably go to help Lewis out. Well, I'd say help him out. I haven't got a clue. I'd probably go three or four. I'd say I'm going to go four.
Lewis, do you want to take a guess?
I'm going to go three or four, probably four.
Well, the answer is two.
It
was Robert Jones from Penrose and John Williams from Abergavenny. So fair play to them both. Well done. Well done. that's the end of the questions. I hopefully haven't missed out too many, but time is of the essence and we can't podcast forever as much as I'm sure people would love us to. A message from me before we go. Subscriptions for the magazine this year are out now. I'm sure the sharp-eyed ones among you would have seen that it has gone up slightly. Unfortunately, like everything, printing costs have gone up. So instead of £3 an issue, it's £4 an issue, but you can get a subscription for £14, which saves you £2 on the year, and it guarantees you an issue every time. So it's definitely worth it, because I think the magazine's going up a level this year. I've started putting it together. Some of the stuff that's coming in is superb. And that'll be the first one will be out in March. So yeah, subscribe on the Alternative Wales website. You won't be disappointed, because it's bloody good. I can promise you that. So closing statements. Kaus, we'll start with you. Any closing statements from yourself?
Yeah, just really enjoyed. Obviously, good to have Lewis on as well and chat about Welsh football. You know, we try and do as much as we can every single week, don't we? But it's nice to give it a proper focal point this week. And just on top of that, I'll be at the Nathaniel MG Cup final on Saturday at Kevin Druids, and nice. Hopefully see a few of the listeners there. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, good stuff. Lewis, obviously a few things from you. From now on, we're going to be introducing a little section on the show where we'll just round up what's going on in the Cymru leagues, and Lewis will come on for about 5-10 minutes every week. Just basically because I want to keep talking about the leagues, because weekly people don't talk about the leagues in much of the main, I hate using the term mainstream media, but essentially that is what it is. So yeah, we're going to keep talking about it. So, even if we have a week where we're talking about the women's team or the men's team or Cardiff or Swansea or Wrexham, whoever, there'll always be a little brief section with Lewis talking about what's going on in the Cymru leagues. Lewis, you're going to pick a track for us. What are you picking?
I'm going to pick Feels Like Summer by a band from Merthyr called Public Order.
Lovely.
And it was
stuff.
On FIFA last year as I was on FIFA, so
oh, nice.
Some of the listeners might have heard it.
Good stuff. And any closing statements from yourself?
Just keep listening to the pod, keep buying the magazines and subscribe, like what you said.
Yep. I've got them all well trained. Fair play.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Brown envelope in the post tomorrow.
Yeah. Always. Right. Thanks again for listening. Diolch yn fawr. This is Feels Like Summer by Public Order to play us out. We'll see you next week. Goodbye. Radio, whatever, radio, what, brown chips, hot weather. Tell me what I feel like.